Scripture says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for this word, for this encouragement, for this revelation, this truth that we can bank our lives on. We thank You that, as this passage declares to us, Christ, by the power of God, is risen. And we can have hope. And we have an inheritance. We have a God who is at work on our behalf. We thank You that we get to gather together this morning to study Your Word, to seek after You, to seek to know You, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. We recognize we need a mighty spirit, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation this morning. That You would come today and that You would make the eyes of our heart jump with joy, would leap with joy at the truth of Your Word that is revealed to us in the Scriptures. God, would You give us eyes to see what Your Word says? Would You give us ears to hear? Would You give us a will that seeks to obey and to honor You through our service and through our lives? Be magnified by empowering me to proclaim faithfully Your Word. Be magnified, God, by equipping the saints to do the work of ministry that You've called them to do. Be lifted up and draw people to Yourself, we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ephesians 1, verses 15, 16, and 17 this morning. We look at these verses where Paul breaks out of this long-winded pronouncement of the blessings that we have in Christ. You remember in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." And so He has unpacked for us what is ours in Christ. And so, as Paul's writing this letter, imagine receiving this letter and just being in awe of God who has done all of this for us. And Paul then continues. He says, "For this reason, in light of all of these spiritual blessings, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, I've heard of your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." So Paul begins to pray for the saints. He has unpacked for them, this is what is yours if you are in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. And it leads Paul, as he's thinking about these people, these believers, these who are gathered in the church, thinking about their faith, thinking about their love, he unceasingly prays for them. Seeking to pray for them, to thank God for them. So number one this morning, praise God for the faith of the saints. Praise God for the faith of the saints. "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul had received word of their faith and of their love. And we know the Apostle Paul spent a great deal of time in Ephesus, more so than any other city. And he built the foundation of the gospel in that city. And you can turn to Acts 20 and you could read when he's meeting with the elders there of the church at Ephesus, and he's departing, and he talks about his labor night and day with them, year after year, trying to root them and ground them in the gospel. Paul loved this church. He spent a great deal of time in this church. And so he's writing to, I think, this church. But if you remember, this is most likely also going to be a letter that is passed around to other churches. It's going to go to other cities and other gatherings. And so we don't see what evidence of their faith, what is evidence of their love. He doesn't give specifics of this particular church or that particular church. But he says, I've heard of your faith. And since I hear of your faith, faith not just blind faith or not just faith in anything, but faith in the Lord Jesus. The Lord, the Sovereign, the God of gods, the King of kings, whose name is Jesus. Your faith is in Christ. And we've seen that through 3 through 14. That in Christ is important. Everything, all these blessings come together in Christ. All of heaven and earth are leading to fulfillment in Christ. So, I've heard of your faith, and I do not cease to give thanks for you. So, praising God is what he's doing. Thanking God, showing gratitude to God for the faith of other saints. Faith, belief or trust or confidence in God. These people that he's writing to, have trusted in Christ. They've heard the words of the gospel of salvation, that Christ had lived the perfect and holy life as God's Messiah. He died for the sins of the world. He was raised from the dead, and he's now seated at the right hand of God, where he rules and reigns over all heaven and earth. And faith in Christ brings everlasting life. Faith in Christ justifies the sinner. Faith in Christ brings peace with God. And so they have believed in Christ. They have trusted in Christ. They have placed faith in Christ. And Paul is rejoicing. He is grateful that this is a reality for these people. Just as there is joy in heaven when a sinner repents and puts his faith in Christ, so Paul is rejoicing that they have turned from their sins and they have turned to the Savior. He's praising God that they have had faith in Christ at a time in history, but that faith continues. For your faith in the Lord, it seems to be ongoing. Maybe we could also translate it, I've heard of your faithfulness in the Lord. I've heard of your faith. You have believed in Christ, but also your faithfulness in Christ. Faith lived out. What does he say at the very beginning of the letter? In verse 1, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. So I have heard of your faith. What does that look like? What does your faith look like? What does my faith look like? And it's like faithfulness. And this is what he says in 1:1. It is faithfulness of the believers. Galatians 5:22 describes that faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit of God in your lives. We just read in verse 13 and 14, we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God has been given to the believer. And the Spirit of God who is in us produces faith and faithfulness unto God. And so the Spirit of God is at work in the life of the Christian. Jesus says to those who will follow Him that one day He will proclaim to them, well done, my good and faithful servant. One who is faithful unto death. True to Christ unto death. Trusting Christ throughout their whole lives, day by day, moment by moment, minute by minute, trusting in Jesus. In Acts 11, it said, Barnabas saw the grace of God and he was glad. And he exhorted those who had believed in Christ to remain faithful. Listen to what it says. To remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. It seems that in Acts 11 there, that he is equating faithfulness to God as steadfast in the purposes of God. So what has God saved you for? What has God created you for? What has God designed you to do? Be steadfast in that. And that is faithfulness to the Lord. Being faithful to Him, to His calling for your life. For the life of the church to be steadfast, immovable, unwavering, running a race with your eyes fixed on Jesus. This is the language that the New Testament gives us of what it means to be faithful, to be true, to be pure in our devotion to Christ. And so Paul, thinking about the church, thinking about their faith, he's praising God. Why? Because God is the one who is able to keep them until the day of full and final revelation. Until the end. He's the one who began the good work in him and will bring it to completion. So when Paul is looking at the saints and their faith or their faithfulness, he's looking to a God who is faithful to keep His Word. He says, thank you, God, that they are faithful. Not because they're just really good people and they got it together and they cleaned up their act. No, because you love them. You care for them. You have died for them. You've risen from the dead for them. You've defeated the enemy for them. You've given us every spiritual blessing so that we can be joined to you fully and finally. So praise be to God. Thank you, God, that they are faithful. You are at work in their lives. You've been faithful to your bride. And that's why he's praising God. Because faith rests in God's people. God has been at work in His people. I think if we have faith in Christ and we're seeking to be faithful, our heart's cry as followers of Jesus will constantly be, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. You've marked out a path. You laid it out for me. I want to walk in it. So, God, I might want to go here. I might want to go there. I might want to do this. I might want to do that. But God, I surrender it all. Because all to you I owe. I want to follow you. I want to honor you with all of my life. The one who is being faithful is seeking to glorify God. Whether they be eating or drinking or whatever we do, we're seeking to glorify God. Steadfast in our purpose. In the purpose of God. What are we made to do? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So be steadfast in seeking to glorify God, to honor God, to exalt God in your life. To realign your purpose with the purpose and mission of God. It's one of the things as a church we've been seeking to do, is to realign our purpose. What are we here? What is the mission of the church? And we've been talking about this. And we're seeking to glorify God. To make God look more valuable than anything in heaven and earth. We can't make that. We're just trying to reveal that. You are glorious. And we're seeking through our lives by joining Him, joining God in this Spirit-empowered process of making disciples. We want to glorify You, God. How do we do this? By making disciples who will love God, who delight in God, who will treasure God.
who would display His beauty and His worth and His majesty in our lives, who would declare to all men everywhere, faith in Christ alone saves. This is what we are trying to be about. Steadfast in this purpose of glorifying God and doing what He has gifted us and equipped us to do. So as individuals and as a church collectively, we need to seek to faithfully pursue God. Pursue God, not just pursue programs or things, but seeking after God. That has to be primary. He's first and foremost. We need to seek to faithfully cultivate a deeper love and an affection for Him. We fix our eye. We're seeking after God. Fix our eyes on Him. But we need to cultivate a love for Him. Seek to be obedient to Him. Seek to faithfully use our time, talents, and treasures for His glory, for His honor, to bless Him with our lives. Seek to be faithful in all things. Be faithful husbands and mothers and children. Be faithful church members. Be faithful employees. You want to be men and women who are marked as faithful. Because as we demonstrate we are being faithful, we demonstrate and display God who has been faithful to us. So Paul praises God for the faith of the saints. Secondly, praise God for the love of the saints. Jesus said, "You will know My disciples by this, their love for one another." You will know My disciples by their love for one another. Here, verse 15, He says, "And your love toward all the saints." So, "I've heard of your love toward all the saints, and I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in My prayers." He's heard of their love. In Ephesians 5, he's going to go on to say, "Be imitators of God as beloved children." Be imitators as children who are loved by God. Listen to what he continues to say. "And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, the church, and gave Himself up for us, the church, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." So he's going to later encourage them. God has loved you as His children. He showed it by giving Christ as a sacrifice for you. So walk in love as Christ has loved you. So love one another. And Paul says, "I heard that you're doing that. I heard that your love for all the saints, for one another, is a present reality and is increasing." Ephesians 6:23, he says, "Peace be to the brethren," at the very end of the letter, "and love with faith." Peace and love with faith, he says, "from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So he's wanting peace, love, and faith from God to be a reality in the church. Even though they have that, he's saying, "I want you to still have that. I want you to grow in that." So grow in your understanding, grow in your love, grow in your faith of God. Maybe you could ask yourself these questions. How do we demonstrate our love for one another? Think about how you demonstrate your love for others. Here he's talking about the saints. How are you expressing love back and forth? How are you demonstrating that? How are you showing others you love them? Not just by communicating words, by demonstrating it. Then flip it. How have you seen love demonstrated to you? Who's really loved you well in the church? Who's come alongside you? Who's served you? Who's just prayed with you? Who's loved you in some capacity? What this should do for us, as we think about people loving us, it should lead us to do what Paul does, to praise God, to give thanks to God that they are loving me. And what it also should do is we should be thanking God, thank you, God, that I have the privilege of doing what you've done for me. I get to love others. I get to demonstrate your love for me to them, whether it be in time of need or just any time. I want to demonstrate. We need to be people who demonstrate love for one another. Toward all the saints. Love for all the saints. You think, whether it be young or old, love them. Demonstrate your love for them. Whether it be Jew or Gentile in the Ephesians context. So whatever your culture is, whatever your background is, whatever your ethnicity is, in the church, in the saints, the body, we're to love everyone. To demonstrate our love for everyone. Whether it be rich or poor, can't just love on the rich people because they'll give more? Or we can't be just driven by love for poor people? We love everyone, wherever they are, economically or socially or whatever it may be. Whether they are educated or uneducated, whether they're healthy or unhealthy, whether they're married or single. What he says here, you have demonstrated love toward all the saints. And so whatever categories you can think about and classify people in, Paul says we should be loving all of them. Loving the people of God. Why? Why? Because God has loved us. He's given Himself for us. And so Paul says, I praise God that you're loving one another. And it was difficult in that day. Jew-Gentile relationships, they didn't like each other. He's going to go on to say in chapter 2, Christ has done something powerful. He's broken down the dividing wall between the two groups. And whatever groups you want to put people in, Christ is superior to any category. And He's wanting to bring all people from everywhere together in Christ. And to show that He loves them and that we are people who are loving as well. So praise God for the love of others. Spend time praying and praising God. Thank you, God, that they are being faithful in this area. Praise God that they showed that other person love. They reached out to them. Praise God that love is being shown and faith is being demonstrated among the church. And so we should be praising God, but we should also press on, be steadfast in that, to continue to exercise love, to continue to exercise faith and faithfulness to God. Thirdly, plead with God for greater knowledge of God. Plead with God for greater knowledge of God. He says, I do not cease, verse 16, to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And here he lays out what he's praying for. And we're just going to look at a tidbit of this prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having your eyes, the eyes of your heart, enlightened. So he prays that God, our Father, God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the God of our Messiah, of our Lord, of our Savior, of our King, our Father, we pray to God that He may give you a spirit, or the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. And you see how the Trinity is at work, don't you? Even here, and you're going to see later on as He's talking about raising Christ from the dead, Father, Son, and Spirit are united in this. Paul is motivated to pray this above all things. One of the things I'm fascinated with as I'm studying and have studied the prayers of Paul, what he doesn't pray, and what I often find myself and others praying. He doesn't pray, God bless them. Why? Because he just wrote 3 through 14. They are blessed. What more blessing could they receive than what Christ has lavished on them? They have every spiritual blessing. Doesn't he? Everything. That's what he says. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You've been giving it all. And so his prayer, he says, you have faith in God and you have love toward the saints. And what I want for you is that you would know God. Do they know God? Yes. But what does he want? I want you to know him. Do they have the Spirit? Yes. The Spirit has been deposited to them who are in Christ. But he wants them to have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And you could debate whether this is the Holy Spirit or internally they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I don't think you could really separate it. Because where does wisdom come from? James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. So when he's praying for the saints that they would have a spirit of wisdom, he recognizes, just as the faith and the love are coming from God, so this wisdom too comes from God, and that they would grasp this. That they would have a spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of him. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So fearing God, faith in God, love to God, for God, leads to greater wisdom also from God. Knowledge of the Holy One gives us insight. And so the greatest thing that we could possess is what Paul prays for. That we would know Him. You've heard it over and over again, hopefully in some church somewhere, to know Him and to make Him known. One or two of you have. To know Him and to make Him known. That summarizes what we're about. And Paul's praying one thing at the heart of you. The central thing he prays, I want you to know Him. And I want the Spirit of God to give you wisdom in the knowledge of Him. Wisdom is knowledge rightly or correctly understood and applied. So it's not just, I got some facts about who God is, and that's what we need. Because I can guarantee you, the devil knows more about God than you will in this life. And so he's not just praying, oh, I want you to have a bunch of categories and theological things worked out in your brain so that you know God well, and how he works and all of this. No. The language here is that you would know him experientially. You would know him in this dynamic relationship that you have with him. That you would grow in wisdom as you're walking with this God. And so you would know your God, not just intellectually, but in the experiences of life. In the struggles,
You know what it's like to cry out to God for help. You know what it's like to have Him as your rock and your strong fortress. Because He's there with you in the midst of the darkness. You know what it's like to praise God when He is doing incredible, far above and beyond anything you could ask or pray or think. You know what it's like walking with God. This is what Paul is praying, that you would have a spirit of wisdom in knowing Christ. That you would have the spirit of revelation. That means pulling back the curtains. Something that may have been hidden now revealed. And so he's praying for people who have had, in a sense, their eyes open. The scales have fallen off and they've seen the glory of God. But he's praying still more and more that you would have more revelation. That God would show more and more of Himself to you. As you progress in your walk with Him, that you would know Him more. That He would reveal, He would peel back the curtains to allow you to see and experience more of His fullness. That you would have the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Ephesians 3:14 through 19. This is another prayer of Paul's, and he's praying very much in the same way as he does here, that He may grant you, may God may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, see the faith, and in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God, that you might be able to comprehend. So God is really big, and He's really dynamic. And we are just beginning in this life to scratch the surface of who God is. And Paul, at least twice, in chapter 1, chapter 3, I want you to grasp God. I want you to grow in your knowledge, in your wisdom, in your understanding, in your love. Knowledge that surpasses understanding. I want you to get that. Paul wants the church to get that. Do you want that? Do you want that? That you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. And so maybe it's a prayer for you. God, enlightenment? I need that. Revelation? I need that. Wisdom? I need that. So God, I'm cloudy. I'm dark. I can't see. I open the book sometimes and I'm not getting it. I'm not valuing it. I'm not treasuring it. So God, would You enlighten me? Would You deeply work in my heart? Enlighten my heart? Give my heart resonation when I read the Word, that it would pop off the page and feel the love and the joy of God as I read. God, would You do that for me? More than anything, God, may I know You as I read. May I not just grasp the Bible and understand the text and interpretation, but God, driving everything I do, may I know You. Let that be your prayer. Is that your prayer for the rest of the church? What do you pray when you pray for one another? Is it mainly about sicknesses? Is it mainly about challenges in your life? What is the focus of your prayers for one another? I challenge us all to pray this.
more than we pray anything else for one another. I pray that you would know God. That God, you would give them a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Him. That you would enlighten their hearts. God, that they would be able to grasp there's a breadth, width, height, depth, and to know the love of God in Christ Jesus. God, that you would fill them with your Spirit, with the fullness of God. God, would you cause them to delight in you above all things? May they treasure you and seek you and get you. Let's pray that for one another. And as we pray that, that is primary. Everything else falls in line right behind that. We would know God. And the knowledge of God. At the end of Ephesians, Paul prays or encourages us at the end of the armor of God. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Praying at all times with all prayer. Paul says in chapter 1, don't cease in my prayers for you. Unceasing prayer. That doesn't mean you're praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You can't do that. But what it means is habitual, continual. Thoughts of God, thoughts of one another. He's saying, I'm praying for you continually. Paul had a bunch of churches that he was ministering to, that he was praying for, that he was serving among. Paul regularly prayed, continually prayed, habitually was praying that they know God above all things. Let us habitually pray for one another. He continues in chapter 6. Pray at all times to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and for me, that words may be given or revelation may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly, that I may proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So God, that you would even make the words of God be given to me and to one another, praying for the saints that God would reveal Himself through His Word. So this is the heartbeat of the prayer, that we would know Christ. And as you read through the Scriptures, there's some men who have had a privilege of knowing God very well. Moses being an example. What is the pinnacle of Moses' life? I think it's Exodus 33 and 34. He's walked with God. He's seen God do all these miracles. He's seen the faithfulness of God in the midst of stubborn Israel. He's watched God be faithful. And he climbs up on the mountain right before he dies and says, God, I want to see your glory. What is he praying? God, I want to know the fullness of who you are. I don't want to just see you in a cloud or just in fire or just in the parting of waters. God, I want to see all that you are. And God says, you can't take it. You can't take it. That's what he says, basically. And so he says, I'm going to reveal more to you, Moses. You're very privileged. I'm going to reveal more, but you're just going to see my back parts. And I'm going to proclaim my glory. And what he does when God goes before him, the glory of God is in his presence. He proclaims the glory of God. And he says, the Lord, the Lord. And then he describes who the Lord is. He is gracious and compassionate and merciful and long-suffering and so on. And Moses knew God. But what did Moses want more than anything? God, I want to see your glory. I want to know more of you. You think of Paul who's writing this letter. He studied the Scriptures his whole life. He dedicated his life to this. And as he was seeing this new cult arise, according to him, which was called Christians, he was persecuting them. These were crazy people who thought the Messiah had come. And then One day he's going to persecute more Christians. Then Jesus arrives and says, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Paul gets a glimpse of the risen Christ, his very presence. And Paul is rescued from the dominion of darkness and transferred to the dominion of light, to Christ. And he's given a mission to go and proclaim this message of the gospel to the ends of the earth, to Jew and to Gentile. A man who walked with God, who wrote a great deal of the New Testament. But if you were to ask Paul, what are you praying for? For yourself. I think he would respond what he said in Philippians 3. He says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Everything in life is mere rubbish at the surpassing worth, the surpassing value, the surpassing treasure of knowing God, of knowing Christ the Messiah, of knowing Jesus, the Son of God, knowing His Lord. This is what Paul was driven for and driven to. I want to know Christ. I want to know Him. Is that your heart? Is that your prayer? Is that your desire? That you would know Him. That you would gain Him. Is that your heart for one another? They would just get Christ. They would know Him more intimately. In this circumstance or in that circumstance, that they would see You more clearly, God. That they would understand more purely what You want for them. That You are there with them and how You are working among them. Let this be the theme and the constant words of our prayer. That each of us would know Christ. And grow in the knowledge and the wisdom, the revelation of God. That we would know Him. What is it for someone to say, I know God. I don't just know about God. I know God. And that's what we tell the world. I have a relationship with God. I know Him. He's my Father. He's my Savior. He's my wisdom. He's my power. He's my strength. He's my hope. He's my joy. He's my all in all. He's everything to me. That is the cry of the Christian. He's everything. Let us let the world know that He's our all in all. Let us know, let one another know He's our all in all. Let us pray that we would all get this. Get Him. Grasp the beauty, the knowledge of our God. Let's pray together. How then should we pray, Lord? We praise You. We praise You, God, for the faith and the love that You're working in the hearts, in the mind, in the lives of these people that are gathered among us today. Those who are gathered in other churches across the city, we thank You for the faith and the love and the other churches, and the other believers and the other saints who are scattered across the city and across this land and across this globe. And people have faith in you. They have love for you and love for your people. We thank you for that, God, and we want to love more. We want to be more faithful, more steadfast in the purposes you have given us. But God, more than anything, would you reveal yourself to us? Would you help us by your Spirit, through your Word, to understand, to grasp, and to know who you are, what you've done, what you're doing, what you will do? We pray with Moses and Paul, God, would you show us your glory? Would you show us your beauty? Would you show us your majesty? Would you come in power and demonstrate that you're a God who is in our midst, sustaining us and empowering us and enabling us? God, may we sense your pleasure and your joy. May we sense your presence in us and among us, at work in us and through us. Oh God, may we know that you are faithful and you will not forsake us, that you are here and you will bring us to yourself. Oh God, may we grasp more. May we know you more intimately. May, when we pick up our Bibles, God, may we understand. May the eyes of our hearts be enlightened to see you more clearly. Be in love with you more purely, deeply. God, may our hearts long for you and yearn for you. And may we be able to communicate that to others. That knowing you is better than anything. Relationship with the Almighty, the King of glory. Be glorified in revealing yourself to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.